Welcome back to the Learning to Change podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Emler, and I'm about to take you on a no-holds-barred journey through the landscape of learning and change. In this series, Off the Cuff, Rants on Learning, I'm ditching the script and speaking straight from the heart. Each of the off-the-cuff rants will involve me diving into the deep end of my thoughts, unfiltered and unrestrained. Yeah, I'm nervous too. This is where passion meets perspective, where years of insights boil over into raw, unscripted dialogue. When these off-the-cuff rants will show up in your feed is still a mystery, but they will show up. Expect emotions to run high and sacred cows to be challenged. I'll be tackling the topics that keep me up at night, the concepts that need unpacking, and the uncomfortable truths we need to confront. This isn't about getting it perfect on the first take. It's about starting the conversation, shaking the foundations, and sometimes setting the record straight in the aftermath. So brace yourself for a series of spontaneous soliloquies. Wow, I've always wanted to use that word ever since I taught the concept of soliloquy in Romeo and Juliet to my freshman English students. Anyway, I digress. So brace yourself for a series of spontaneous soliloquies crafted through years of dedication to the art of learning. We're about to look at old problems through a new lens, and I invite you to join me on this journey of reflection, critique, and change. Let's get ready to rant, reflect, and revolutionize our understanding. This is Learning to Change, Off the Cuff, where every rant is a step towards a new perspective. Let's begin. All right, let me just start by saying this episode or this rant is about bullying. And I just want to say up front that bullying is real. It absolutely happens. And it's disturbing the harm that it does to students in our school and actually people in the workplace because bullying is real. And I think that schools don't do enough to stop it. That's a lot to swallow. And yeah, it does feel impossible. I have been a principal and have had to deal with lots of bullying reports. But what I saw today in the wild is seriously the craziest thing I've ever seen. So in the wild today, I saw a support document for a special education. It's a special education support doc that helps teachers write IEPs. And it's actually a very, very good document. I mean, probably the best I've ever seen. But there's a part of the document where there's an image of the present levels of academic achievement and functional performance, behavioral, social, and emotional. And it's like an insert from like a screen grab of the actual IEP document. And it says, briefly describe current behavioral, social, emotional performance. Consider the use of positive behavioral interventions and supports and other strategies to address behavior that impedes learning. Pretty typical. I would expect to see that. So it's, you know, different things that you can do to support a learner with their emotions. But then below that is a box that says bullying. Describe any disability-related skills and proficiencies the student needs in order to avoid and respond to bullying, harassment, or teasing. This section must be completed for students who have a disability that affects social skills development, students vulnerable to bullying, harassment, or teasing, and students with autism. Okay. As I said, this document is like amazing, and it's an amazing support for teachers. So my rant isn't about this document. My rant is because there has to be a section in the IEP that asks us to document how our student with a disability handles and adjusts to being bullied. What social skills do we need to teach this student? Because we believe that this student has a disability with a higher incidence of bullying to be bullied. I am so appalled, not with the document. I am appalled that we have to have a section where we discuss how we can support our students with disabilities in handling bullying, because we, as the adults in the school, know and expect that to happen. So, as I breathe through my annoyance with the fact that that is on an IEP document, I can't help but be reminded of the procedures that I had in place to deal with bullying when I was the principal of a small rural school. And my practices were really unconventional, because when I got a report of bullying, that essentially the person submitting that was essentially hoping that I would do something. And there would likely be a punishment or a support of some sort, a punishment for the bully and support for the bullied. But initially, when I got the reports, I started to bring the students together in the same room at the same time. And I usually started the conversation with having each of the students give me an account of what happened. And I can guarantee you that those students told me the truth or corrected each other's record when they were in the same room at the same time. And I was able to work through what happened. And I was able to create next steps to how we would not bully or not be bullied or whatnot. I was able to work through what the next steps were and what the potential consequences would be if the next steps were violated, essentially. And I was criticized by a lot of people for putting the bully and the bullied together in the same room. But what I learned after doing this for several months is that often what was being reported as bullying was actually at the level of conflict that could be managed through conflict resolution. And so what that did was that encouraged me to work with my counselor, and we were both notified when a report of bullying came in. And we both had a conflict protocol that we would work through when we brought students into the office to address the bullying situation. And I eventually didn't need to get involved until there were repeat occurrences with the same offenders. And after reading through the notes that we kept in a running document, I could tell what had been transpiring before. So we sort of had, like, if the student had been reported three times as the bully, we would address that from a different perspective. But we started to address the reports through conflict resolution. And what we noticed is that in most cases, the conflict resolution could subside the bullying. It could make it stop. It could actually level the playing field and put both people at a level ground in regards to who had more power, because the next steps were agreed on by both students prior to leaving the office. And I have wondered ever since I implemented this system, why on earth more people were not utilizing a system that required people to bring both people into the room to address the conflict, even in a bullying situation. I don't know why we don't do that. We are protecting the bullied child, and all we're doing is opening them up to more harm, because they have never have the opportunity to take their power back and say how they felt and what happened as a result of the bullying. They've never had an opportunity to take their power back from the person who is bullying them until you put them in the same room. And it might even require a little bit of coaching before they get in the room with the person doing the bullying. But you have to coach them in a way that they can take back their power instead of looking like they're going to melt away because they are so harmed and so hurt. I don't understand why we don't bring people together to do that. And instead, I'm reminded of my annoyance that people thought my practice was unconventional and potentially unsafe, when now I'm looking at an excerpt of an IEP form that lots of people across the country are using, and it's asking us to identify how we need to teach the student with disabilities the social skills required to handle the bully. So what are those social skills that are required to handle the bully? What should we be writing in that form? Ignore for the first 15 times. Punch them back? I don't know. I have no idea what we should write there to make it acceptable for that student to be bullied. It blows my mind that we have to fill in the blanks of how we're going to support that student with social stories to handle being teased for their disability. I think it should be, what are we doing to train the teachers and the principals and the counselors to support the students who are bullied, and also to support the child who is bullying, because hurt people hurt people. But we don't know how to do this, and we don't know how to bring both parties together into a room. And so we document on an IEP form the social skills we need to teach the student who is being bullied for having a disability. I'm annoyed. I like literally cannot understand why this is happening. And then I can't help but wonder why bullying is so epidemic in our country. It's because we aren't handling conflict. We aren't supporting all of our learners, disability or not. We're not supporting any of them with learning how to manage conflict. We're not calling out the bullshit of bullying. We're having a talk with them, but we're afraid to punish them because that might make it worse for the person being bullied. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. And I'm not an expert on bullying. I'm not an expert on that. And I know that it's real. And I absolutely know that there are cases where things escalate. But I cannot accept that we're passing the buck and putting it in an IEP form, where we have to talk about the social skills we're teaching the students so they know how to deal with the bullying. Isn't there social skills that we should be teaching the student who is doing the teasing? Why are teaching social skills, why is that practice isolated to those with disabilities? I'm disgusted. I can't. And on another note, that dang document that I saw this in is amazing. It's amazing. But the fact that we're calling out how to support a student with disabilities with the bully, I can't. Let's put people in a room. Let's talk about the conflict before it escalates to a repeated behavior. Let's level the playing field and balance out the power among the students in our learning environments. Let's give those who are bullied a voice. I'm so annoyed I can't even talk about this anymore. So I'm just going to leave it here. I think we can make it better by giving the bullied a voice. Let's pull the people together. Let's talk about the conflict and let's establish the next steps. But let's not just teach social skills to the students who are prone to being bullied. That's disgusting. Thank you for joining me today on the Learning to Change podcast. I hope you found our discussion insightful and inspiring. As we continue to explore the power of learning and its impact on change, remember that it's not about pushing yourself or others to change, but about embracing the process of learning. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. If you're ready to take your learning journey to the next level or bring about a culture of learning in your organization, join us in our free Modern Learners community. We are here to help you navigate the challenges and celebrate the successes that come with embracing learning and change. Simply go to modernlearners.community and join us today. You'll find all the resources from today's show in there. Until next time, stay curious and remember, I'm not asking you to change, I'm asking you to learn. Learning to Change is produced by Yellow House Media. Our production coordinator is Lou Blaser. Marty Seafelt edits our episodes. Our production assistant is Emily Kilduff. And Sean McMullen is our executive producer. Learning to Change is recorded on the stolen land of the Sauk and Fox tribes, the Miami Nation, the Osatee, Shakawi, Sioux, Ho-Chunk, and Kickapoo peoples.